Praise God. You are welcome. Yes, just greet your neighbor. Oh, greet everyone in the room. We are few. So just stand up and walk to everyone. Greet them, get to know them. Find out how they are doing. We are few, so... Yes. Glory be to God. Yes. Thank you for coming. I pray that we shall be blessed. I pray that the Lord anoints me, and to do this work so that it's done well, so that His children live blessed. All right. Yes, we are continuing our Bible study using Rick Joyner's book, The Final Quest. We are using the 2010 edition, and the copyright information page is our page one. Glory be to God. Last week we were here, we talked about the honor and glory of suffering for the cause of Christ. And we learned, or we reminded ourselves, that it is an honor to suffer for Jesus and His kingdom. And we also saw that there is a glory and a reward that comes by suffering for Jesus. And we saw a scripture in Romans chapter 8, which taught us that not all Christians are going to be heirs of God. Those who suffer with Jesus are the heirs of God, okay? Let's read it, Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. Romans 8, from verse 16, it says that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Okay? So here it says that those who are going to be glorified with the Lord, those who are going to be joint heirs with Him, are those who are willing to suffer with Him. And the suffering should be for the cause, you know, it should be a result of, persecution that comes, okay, that comes as a result of being in the will of God, of serving the Lord, working with Him, all right? Hallelujah. So today, our topic the topic for today is just a simple thing. The end is here. The end is here. The end times are here. Hallelujah. Most of you were around on church on Sunday, isn't it? Almost all of you. Yeah, so in a sense, this is coincidentally, if there's something like that in the kingdom, this is a follow-up of what we learned on Sunday. Glory be to God. How many did history at HSC? Okay. Newman, did you do history at HSC? Hey, man, you missed, Okay, but today you're going to have a small history lesson, all right, which is to prove or to really emphasize the fact that the end is here, Jesus is coming back soon, and we should be excited. Hallelujah. Let's first open and read from The Final Quest. Let's open page 63. page 63, paragraph 7. It says, paragraph 7, that the Lord stood up. You remember, Rick Joyner now he's in the throne room, eh? Okay? So he says that the Lord stood up, and all those who are seated upon the thrones, for as far as I could see, also stood up. His eyes burned with a fire I had not seen before. Okay? So the Lord did what? He stood up. Eh? Okay, now let's go to page 64. Page 64 from paragraph 3. Okay, you're there? It says that a company of angels then came and escorted me away from the room. The leader walked beside me and began to speak. Now that he has stood, now you can understand why we first read page 63, paragraph 7, was to give this a context. So the angels say that now that he has stood, he will not sit again until the last battle is over. He has been seated until the time when his enemies are to be put under his feet. The time has now come. The legions of angels that have been standing ready since the night of his passion have now been released upon the earth. The hordes of hell have also been released. This is a time for which all of creation has been waiting, he continued. The great mystery of God will soon be finished. We will now fight until the end. We will fight alongside you and your brethren. Glory be to God. Okay? It says that now that he has stood, he will not sit again until the last battle is over. He has been seated until the time when his enemies are to be put under his feet. Okay? And as we shall see, that there's a verse that talks about God's enemies being put under his feet, okay? And it is in reference to the end times. Eh? Then he says that the time has now come. The legions of angels that have been standing ready since the night of his passion have now been released upon the earth. The hordes of hell have also been released. This is a time for which all of creation has been waiting. Okay? The end times. Eh? Okay? The time, you know, closing the chapter. Eh? Okay? All of creation has been waiting for this time. The great mystery of God will soon be finished. Hallelujah. Quickly open Revelations chapter 10, verse 7. Okay. I didn't plan to read it, but let's read it. Revelations chapter 10, verse 7. If you remember, on Sunday, we talked about things to do with the tribulation that is coming and that the rapture will happen after the tribulation. Okay? And the rapture will be at the sounding of the last trumpet. Alright? You remember? Okay? At the sounding of the last what? Trumpet. Okay? That's what 1 Corinthians 15 says, you know? At the last trump. So then we saw in Revelations that there are seven trumpets, alright? That will be blown, isn't it? All right, and we saw that the last trumpet is the seventh trumpet. All right, now Revelations chapter 10, Revelations chapter 10, verse 7, it says, "But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel," okay, that is the seventh trumpet. Okay, "in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, okay? So that means that before he sounds, okay, the seventh, the last trump, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. All right? Just before the seventh trumpet is sounded, basically just before the rapture, it says here that the mystery of God would be finished. Glory be to God. Now, that is the statement in the final question where it says that the great mystery of God will soon be finished. All right? So that means that the mystery of God, okay? Anyway, we are in the days, you know, before that mystery of God is what? Is finished. What that mystery is, you know, you can go and ask God. That mystery that will soon be finished just before the rapture. Glory be to God. You remember we saw on Sunday that the sixth trumpet will result in what? A war. Okay? Which most people call World War III. All right? So, between World War III, all right, and the rapture, okay, the seventh trumpet, something is going to happen. And it says here, the mystery of God would be finished. All right? And that is, anyway, what Rick Joyner was taught in heaven, that this is a time for which all creation has been waiting. The great mystery of God will soon be finished. All right? That's what will happen between the World War III, which we saw on Sunday, is around the corner, and the rapture. Rick Joyner was told in 1990-something when he had these experiences. He was told that that mystery of God would soon be finished. Glory be to God. Again, that shows that what? The end times are here. The end is here. Glory be to God. So, please go and find out, okay, what that mystery of God that is going to be finished soon, what it is. Okay? Rick Joyner has his opinions. Many people have their opinions. I went on the net to look up these. So there are, so many things. But we won't go into that today, amen, because we don't know. Okay? We shall just be speculating. Hallelujah. Okay? Now, anyway, so these paragraphs that we have read, basically, I just saying that what? Okay, the time for the consummation of all things, for this age to come to an end, is here. Glory be to God. Okay? The angel told Rick Joyner that now that Jesus, you know, has stood up, he will not sit again until the last battle is over. He has been seated until the time when his enemies are to be put under his feet. Okay? So he has stood, okay? So that now he will, you know, so that now the season, okay, for getting ready to put his enemies under his feet can start. Do you understand? Okay? So he says the time has come. Then he says that this is the time for which all of creation has been waiting. Glory be to God. Amen. So, the purpose of this Bible study is to basically remind us that the end is here. And we should be excited. Jesus is coming back soon. Okay? The end is here. Okay? And we're going to take several lessons from history that will show that what? the end is here. Okay? Hallelujah. Let's first read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 22 to 28. I know Denise didn't like these end time things. Okay. I know why you don't like them, whether they confuse you or what. But today we shall just do a basic. There's some things anyone in LAT should know. Some basics, eh? You know, eh? Anyone, you don't have to know those deep things, eh? You know, you can get to know them after getting the what? So one of the things, people in LAT, we should have a basic understanding of what some deep people call eschatology. Okay? Eschatology simply means the study of the end times. Okay? Denise, eschatology. Okay? You say it, you sound very spiritual. Okay? Until someone discerns that you're actually not what? Spiritual. You just want to sound great. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. Okay? By the way, on Sunday, we began the basics of eschatology. I hope you realized. Okay? Those were the basics of eschatology. You have to know what the rapture is. The rapture is the saints being gathered up, the saints and those who are dead in Christ, okay? Their bodies being changed from mortal bodies to immortal bodies, and then they are gathered up to the Lord at his second coming, all right? You know, after the tribulation, okay? People who don't believe, people who say that the church will be raptured before the tribulation, okay, teach that there are two parts to the return of the Lord. There is the secret coming, okay, where he just appears in the clouds, you know, he doesn't, you know, step on the earth. Then people are raptured, eh? The dead in Christ rise up first. Then we who are alive and remain are caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. All right? And then they say, then after 7 years, okay, the Lord now returns to the earth. Okay? So they split it. Eh? They say that there's a secret coming. Okay, where people just vanish, you know, those things of left behind, man, where, so, you know, people just, you know, vanish, all right? But the Bible there's nowhere where it talks about what? A secret coming. It's not there. Okay? It's not what? It's not there. You know, we read in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, I think, to 31, where it says it will be evident. Okay, the Lord will appear with a loud sound. It will be evident. It won't be secret. Okay, but then he said that will be after the tribulation. Glory be to God. Amen. And so Sunday we began to lay the basics of eschatology, the study of the end times. Okay, the rapture will happen after the tribulation. Okay, our bodies will be changed. Okay, those who are still alive and remain, those who are dead in Christ will be raised. Okay, hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, what else did we say? Okay. Yeah, there will be a war, which is also part of the tribulation, eh? So those were the basics, eh? Okay? So now we are continuing with the basics, okay? For some reason, you know, coincidentally, if that exists, we find ourselves in the final quest again, where it is talking about that the end is near. You understand? Eh? So I thought it was an opportunity to continue with the basics. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 22, it says, For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Okay? Those who are in Christ shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end. Okay? Now, I realize today that between verse 23 and verse 24, there is 1,000 years. Okay? Verse 23 says, but each one in his order, eh? We're talking about the resurrection, eh? Okay? Christ, okay? The first fruits. Remember, Christ was resurrected, yeah? All right? Then afterward, those who are Christ at his coming, okay, will also be resurrected, yeah? And now we know that when he comes back again, we shall go in heaven for a short time as his wrath is poured, yeah, on the earth. Then we shall come back to reign with him for 1,000 years, isn't it? Now, verse 24 says, then comes the end. Okay? So that means that between verse 23 and 24, there is 1,000 years. The end now is the end of the 1,000 years. Okay? When now we have the new heavens and the new earth. Glory be to God. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom, yeah, the kingdom to God the Father. Okay? The kingdom he has been reigning over for 1,000 years. Eh? Okay? He delivers it to God the Father when he puts an end to all rule and all authority. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. That which we read in the final quest, eh? That the time has come for that to happen. Eh? All right? He must do what? Reign till he has put all his enemies under his feet. Glory be to God. You get it, eh? All right? The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under his feet, that God may be all in all. Hallelujah. So just those verses alone basically just talk about the end times, you know, what is going to happen at the end. Eh? Okay? At the end. Eh? Okay? Those who are dead in Christ, you know, will be made alive. All right? Then Jesus will reign for 1,000 years. After those 1,000 years, you know, or around that, you know, at the end, he will put all enemies under his feet. Eh? Okay? Including death. All right? Including death. And then afterwards, he will hand over the kingdom to God the Father. Eh? Okay? That's when there will be the new heavens and the new earth, where God, you know, it says that, you know, and God would dwell with man. Eh? You know, eh? Revelation says that, behold, eh, you know, the tabernacle of God is with men. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm debating whether to tell you something else about this verse. Yeah, another perspective to it. Eh? But maybe we can leave that for after the Bible study. Okay? How someone solve anyway. Hallelujah. Now, Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Verse 31 to 45. This is the dream Nebuchadnezzar had which was revealed to Daniel, and then Daniel interpreted it. Basically, this dream shows what was going to happen from the time of Nebuchadnezzar, okay, up to our day, up to the end of this age. The kingdoms that would come and would go, you know, until Jesus comes and establishes his kingdom, okay? Which kingdom will last for what? 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Amen? So, yeah, these are verses, these are things we have never read at LAT, but I think the time has come for God to remind us about the basics of the end times. Okay? So, verse 31, Daniel is speaking. He says, "You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chests and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the earth. This is a dream. Now we will tell you the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings." Let's pause there a bit. You know, some years ago, Gaddafi, the late, called himself the king of kings. All right? And me and almost all of you, we say that the guy had what? Blasphemed. Okay? And God was going to what? Deal with him. But now, you know, there's someone, Daniel, a prophet, a godly man, there's someone he called what? King of kings. Glory be to God. Have you seen it? You know, so that means that someone can actually, you see, yes, someone can be king of kings, or president of presidents, but when he's not actually saying he's Jesus, you understand, he's above the Lord. Like here, it just meant that he's the greatest of kings at that time, Nebuchadnezzar. And of course, I'm sure Gaddafi was also boasting. Do you understand? Yeah, I don't think he meant that he's above Jesus or what, you know, or he's Jesus. Because even Gaddafi himself, okay, knew that there's someone greater than him, according to his religion, Muhammad. You know. So there's no way he was going to put himself above Muhammad. Not that I believe in Muhammad, but I'm just trying to prove a point. Hallelujah. So you see it, Daniel, the prophet, greatly beloved of God, called Nebuchadnezzar King of Kings. All right? But it is not a capital K. A capital K, King of Kings. It's a small K. You understand? All right? It's here in your Bibles. All right? So, you, O king, are... Joan, you are what? You, O king, are what? Read it.
A king of
I stop there. Now let me continue. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, all the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of God. So Daniel is beginning to interpret the vision or the dream. So he says that you, Nebuchadnezzar, are the head of what? Of God. Okay? After this, but after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours. Okay? Then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crashes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. And as you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Glory be to God. Denise, you're following? Okay. Bridget, you're welcome. Okay. You miss church on Sunday. I hope you got an opportunity to listen to the sermon. If you haven't, on Sunday we laid down the basics of the study of end times, the basics of eschatology. All right? The basics, eh? Okay? We talked about the rapture, that it is going to occur after the tribulation. So you're going to be in the tribulation. We shared a dream. Did you read the word? Yeah, the word for the week, eh? We talked about, and we saw it in the Bible, World War III, and it is coming soon. And the church is going to be here, all right? And that World War III is part of the tribulation, all right? So we laid basics of end times. And the final quest gets us, we find ourselves in the final quest at the point where actually it is talking about, where it's saying that the end is here, okay? That is page 64. Page 64, eh? Paragraph what? Yeah, from paragraph 3 to paragraph 5. All right? So, we have read Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the interpretation. All right? Norman, come, and I use you as the image. Glory be to God. So, the head, the head was of what? Of God. What about the nose? The nose and the eyes were either from Rwanda or from Ankole. Glory be to God. All right. By the way, this is a very The people in this room, you can, it can look like LAT is tribalistic. This is very bad. You guys, go and bring people of other tribes into LAT. At least, okay, for Bible study. Okay? But if all of you have some characteristics which are... Anyway, so... Yeah, so the head of gold, okay, and Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, from verse 1 to 35, Daniel interpreted that head as Nebuchadnezzar, meaning Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom, all right? And then there was the chest, okay, and the arms of what? Of silver, all right? And then the belly and the thighs of bronze, and then the legs of what? Of iron, and then the feet, okay, with toes, which were a mixture of iron and clay. All right? And Daniel says, then thereafter, there was a stone, which was cut from wherever it came and hit the what? The feet, okay? And it crushed the whole image. Okay, it turned into dust, it was blood, and then this stone, okay, grew to become a huge mountain which covered the whole world. Okay, and Daniel said that that kingdom, okay, the kingdom of God, you know, will last forever and ever. All right, so Daniel was giving history in advance. Hallelujah. And the purpose of this Bible study, like I said in the beginning, is to really show us that the end is here. Glory be to God. The end is what? Is near. Now, history, this is the basic stuff that you all know. Joan, who knows it, she almost got an A in history. Almost. Yeah. I was going to say that she almost got an O. Almost got an O. Okay? So, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, you know, the Babylonian kingdom, existed from 606 to 538 BC. All right? What, you know, and Daniel lived in that time. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar died, then there was a son, and then a grandson, another son. But in 538 BC, okay, that kingdom was overthrown by the Medes, okay? And you remember that's the story when King Belshazzar was dining with guests, okay? And then there was a writing on the wall. Okay, what did the writing say in that language? Okay, but in English, it was what in English? You have been weighed and found wanting, and now your kingdom is what? You see, okay, and that very night, you see, the kingdom was overthrown. The Babylonian kingdom came to an end that night. Okay, it was overthrown by the Medes. Okay, all the media, you know, okay? And then later, there came also the Persians, all right? Queen Esther, okay, was involved in a beauty contest, okay? And that king was a Persian, okay? He was called Xerxes, something like that, man, these days I'm taking history very seriously. Now, all of a sudden, I now know names which a year ago I couldn't put in my head. All right? Anyway, so, after the Babylonian kingdom, there came the Medes and the Persians. Okay? That was from 538 to 333 BC, before Christ. So, these kingdoms were before Jesus came. All right? Now, in 333 BC, okay, the Medes and the Persians, that kingdom also came to an end. Okay? I'm sure you have all, those who did his, anyway, all of us have heard of a man called Alexander the Great. But these guys were either genius, you know, he was either a genius or there was something supernatural about man. The guy was a kid. He was a kid in his 20s or something like that. You understand? And his empire was a great, you know, the largest. A kid, okay, but alcohol messed him up. You know, he died drunk, you know, in his 30s. But it was called what? Alexander the Great. Now, so that was now Greece, okay? The kingdom of Greece now was what? Was the belly, okay, and the thighs. Glory be to God. The belly and the thighs. All right? Then, so that was from 333 BC to 44 BC. Okay? It was like 300 years. Eh? All right? Then in 44, actually it was from 33 BC to 44 AD. All right? Actually to 44 BC. Sorry. All right, these things of BC AD. Now, then from 44 BC, all right, a few years before the birth of Christ, the coming of the Lord, okay, to 44 BC, the Greek were overthrown. The kingdom of what? Greece also came to an end. All right, so that by the time Jesus was born, it was another kingdom now reigning. And that was the Roman Empire. Okay? You remember? Jesus was born, then there was a census that had to be done. Eh? And it was commanded by Augustus Caesar or someone else. You remember? And it was the Roman what? Empire, starting from 44 BC. Okay? And it collapsed. Okay, many years after that, in 476 AD. Man, even before I compiled this today, I knew that year from my study of European history. There are some years I've written down, you know, somewhere. I know these years very well. 476, 622, do you know what happened in 622, that was the rise of what? Muhammad. And of course, he impacted Europe. Eh? So, Muhammad, you cannot read European history and you don't study Muhammad. How the guy who came on the scene and terrorized Europe. Okay? And then there's another year. Okay? 800 AD. I'll tell you about it. This, man, I think if I'd done history in those days, I would have gotten an F. But now that I have the interest, you know, probably I would also attempt an A. Hallelujah. So, 476 AD, the kingdom, you know, the legs of iron also came to an end. Hallelujah. They came to an end. Okay? The Roman Empire basically did what? Okay, the Roman Empire, you know, in Western Europe or in the West. Okay, because there was the East and the West. Eh? The East now that is Turkey and all other countries. Eh? Syria, Iran, Iraq. Eh? Okay, those were part of the Roman Empire. Eh? Okay, but in the West, it collapsed in 476 AD. Okay, that is a few years ago. But you think about all these things, eh? And you're like, guys were civilized in Europe, in Palestine, Israel. You wonder what was happening here. Eh? You know, it's strange. You even don't want to see who could be. In my opinion, there I think there was gross darkness. Eh? as in spiritual darkness, eh? Must have been bad. Eh? Okay? Banyaranda don't think they were here yet. All they had cause, you know? Denise, Banyaranda said that they are Jews. And maybe they are right. I don't know. Eh? Okay? Glory be to God. Joanne is a Miranda also, but what? She's just darking. I was with Bridget 2 weeks ago, and I was convincing her. Yeah? I was enlightening her mind that what? She's a Miranda. Anyway, so, yeah, first 76 AD, it collapsed. Glory be to God. Okay, so the legs of iron, eh? That kingdom, did what? It collapsed. Okay? But the Bible, Nebuchadnezzar dreamt, and Daniel saw it also, that now they were the what? The feet of iron and what? And clay. Okay? Okay? You see there's iron there. That means that the Roman Empire has to come back at a certain point in time. Isn't it? But it won't be as strong as it used to be. The Roman Empire, according to history, was stronger than all, than the head of God, Babylon, the Medes and the Persians and the Greeks. It was stronger than all of them. Okay? That's why you see it was iron. All right? Now, it has to come back, but it won't be as strong as it used to what? As it was then, before it collapsed. Glory be to God. Now, the purpose of this Bible study is to remind us or to inform us that actually the Roman Empire is being revived before our eyes. Okay? The feet, you know, iron and clay. Man, things are happening. Glory be to God. Things are what? Are happening. All right? Things are what? Are happening. Let me ask you a question. You know Hitler? Of course. You have heard about Hitler, eh? But let me not go ahead of myself, eh? Okay. Now, in 800 AD, okay, there came a man called, in English, he's called Charles the Great. Did you say about him in history? Huh? Oh, you don't remember. You almost got an O. I'm joking. Eh? Charles the Great, okay, in Germany and French, I think it's called Charlemagne. Charlie, I guess, is Charles. Then Maine, I guess, is magnitude. Eh? Great. Eh? Okay? That's the way I try to understand it. Eh? Okay? So Charles, the great. Eh? Okay? This guy was crowned by a pope. Okay? He was crowned as the emperor, okay, of the Holy Roman Empire. What? 800 AD. You see, eh? He was crowned by a pope as, you know, eh? The emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. Okay? And that was actually his goal, eh? Basically, he wanted to revive the Roman Empire, which had crumbled in 476 AD. Okay? So, 300 years later, 324 years later, you know, he attempts to recreate it. Glory be to God. Okay? So, he was crowned on 25th December, Christmas Day. Okay? He was born and he lived in a town, now it's in Germany. Okay, it is called, I don't know how they pronounce the word, but here in Uganda, you'd pronounce it as Achen, because it's exactly, that's how it is spelled, Achen, though it is a double A. Achen, you know, eh? Okay? Now, of course, he died after a few years, but thereafter, okay, his sons and those who came after them continued to be what? The emperors of the Holy Roman Empire. Or, okay? Now, that Holy Roman Empire ended like 100 years later. Okay? It ended with the coming of Napoleon. Napoleon messed them up. Okay? Napoleon's wars in 1806. That's when it came to an end. What Charlemagne the Great began in 800 AD in collaboration with the Catholic Church. You understand? You know, it somehow crumbled also after 1,000 years. Remember? The Holy Roman Empire. Okay? Then, in 1871, okay, this year I didn't know, but now I'll never forget it. Okay? Most of us who didn't do history at HSC, but we did history at O level. You remember this thing of colonization of Africa? Okay? There was something called the Berlin Conference. Okay? That's what you remember. In 1886, the Berlin Conference, when a gay man sat to give themselves what? Land. Well, people are what? People, how do you sit in a meeting now like here? And then you're like, and now, no man, what did you want for it? The church people don't have an idea what you want, what's happening. Any the Berlin what? A conference, and the key guy, you know, that conference, the key guy there was who? You got a 2 in history, whatever. Bismarck. You remember that guy? Okay? Now, that guy, and it says that from the unification of Germany following the Franco-Prussian War of 1870 and 71 with Bismarck as the first prime minister, okay, that's when actually guys said that now we have what? Brought back the Holy Roman Empire. 1871. You see, it had crumbled in 1806. Okay? But, an empire, it crumbled, but the spirit remained there. Guys are like, one day we have to bring it again. It crumbled, but over the years, people are still working to revive it. Okay? 1871. Okay? Bismarck. Who years later, man, sat with some other guys to partition Africa. Okay? They brought back the Holy Roman Empire with Charlemagne the Great, Charles the Great, which he had revived, but Napoleon had messed them up. Okay, so from 1806, around 65 years later, Bismarck and some other guys bring it back again. Glory be to God. Amen. Then, again things went bad. It crumbled again. Okay? At the end of World War I. World War I messed them up. Okay? In fact, that empire, land now was given away to other countries. They basically wanted to make Germany weak. All right? So Poland, other countries, God, you know, so it was what? So anyway, the empire came to an end at the end of World War what? World War One, because Germany lost that war, okay? And the thing came to what? An end. Glory be to God. But the spirit remained there. You remember, prophecy has to get fulfilled, okay? And this is where I get tempted to divert into my things of the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. When God, when the Bible says he watches over his word to perform it. You understand? So, Nebuchadnezzar was given a vision, and the moment was shown that vision, you understand? God cannot do otherwise, but things have to be fulfilled. The head of gold came and went. All right? The chests and the arms, you know, came and went. The belly and the thighs, okay, Greece, came and went. Okay? Roman Empire, it came and went. But, okay, and the feet of iron and clay have to come. All right? And there's iron there because it has something to do with the Roman Empire. Glory be to God. So that's why, you know, people, you know, they don't know that they are trying to fulfill prophecy. You understand? The thing crumbled in what? 476 AD. But human beings have been working to revive it. Do you understand? And they don't know that actually the moment it comes, a few years thereafter, the end comes. And these are evil people. They don't know that actually they are plotting their own end. Glory be to God. You see, So, 476, it crumbles. 800 AD, Charles the Great revives it. 1,000 years later, in 806, Napoleon messes them up. All right? 871, Bismarck, and Ucompany revive it. In fact, do you know what they called it? It was called, of course, the Holy Roman Empire, but they also called it the Second Reich. Reich it means anyway, a realm, or empire. In Latin, actually, it is empire. They called it the second one, empire, because Charles the Great's empire was the first. So they call this one the what? The second Reich. Now, for those of you who studied history, like Denise, now you can understand why Hitler's regime, why he called it the Third Reich. If there was a third, that means that there was a second. And if there was a second, that means that there was a what? A first. Hitler's regime, the Nazi Germany, from 1933 to 45, was called the Third Reich. I've always wondered why it was called Third. Until, I guess, last year, that's when I went to study, and I was shocked, man. You know, the first Reich, the first realm, the first kingdom was Charles the Great's empire, which was messed up by, Then the second one was Bismarck and Group, in 1871. The third one was Hitler from 1933, until the end of the Second World War. So Hitler's agenda actually was to revive the Roman Empire. You understand? It was essentially that. Glory be to God. That was his thing. And he wanted Germany, you know, and some people therein who were, you remember the super human race, okay? The Aryan race, that, so, you know, they had blue eyes and whatever, you know, Basically, wanted them, they were going to be the rulers. It was a super race, okay? And they were supposed to rule the whole world. Glory be to God. But starting in Europe, and man, the guy conquered, he hammered the guys, you understand? He was a terror. He conquered with territories. And his whole plot was reviving the Roman Empire. You understand? And he was doing it by force. You either accept and come on his side, or he comes for you. Glory be to God. Amen. So you see, the spirit remained there. The kingdom, the empires would come and go, but the spirit remained because, okay, the feet of iron and clay, that empire also has to come. Before that stone, okay, is cut off, and then it comes and hits what? That last empire. And that stone, like we read, it will grow, you know, into a huge mountain that will cover the entire earth. And that is the kingdom of God, the 1,000 years of the reign of Christ. Glory be to God. So before that stone hits, okay, the feet of iron and clay, okay, the weak revived Roman Empire, okay, before it does that, it means that Roman Empire has to come back. Isn't it? It has to come back. Glory be to God. But it was messed up in 1945. Second World War, the end of Second World War. Germany lost. Okay? Hitler, was he killed or he committed suicide? Okay? And man, the thing was what? Came to an end. Glory be to God. But the spirit remained there. Okay? Humans kept what? Working at it. Glory be to God. Amen? Now, there's something I read somewhere. It says that the extent of that empire, the Holy Roman Empire, okay, under Charles the Great, is similar to that of the European Union. The European Union right now. You understand? The extent, okay, the countries that are in the European Union, okay, it is similar to the empire, the first relic, you know, of Charles the Great. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, basically, in a sense, the gays are working at it again. And they began in 1957. You see, And you know, the European Union, okay, it calls Charles the Great, Charlemagne, it calls him the father of the European Union. Remember, a guy who lived in what? Who revived it in 800 AD. You see, More than 1,000 years later, 1,000 plus, it's like 1,200 years, okay? Guys are calling him their father. Hallelujah. The European Union has a prize which they award every year to an individual, okay? And it is called the Charlemagne Prize. Basically, it is named after that guy. You know, Do you know who got it this year? Okay? This year, this young French president is the one who got the what? That prize. Why did he get it? Man, he got it because First of all, it says that that prize is given to public figures who promote European unity. Okay? It is named after Charlemagne, who in 800 AD took up the role that would later come to be known as the Holy Roman Emperor. Okay? Then he says that traditionally, the award is given to the recipient on Ascension Day. You see, these guys are satanic. Eh? Now, I wonder why they chose the Ascension Day, what Catholics and Protestants, what they call the Ascension Day, when Jesus, after he rose, he remained around for 40 days. Eh? Okay, then what? He ascended. Eh? So they give that award on that day, Ascension Day. And it is a Thursday, Holy Thursday, like they call it. Okay? And it is awarded, the ceremony occurs in that town I told you, Achen, where Charlemagne was born and grew up. That is where the award is given. They did it this year, 10th May. 10th May, Macron was there to get it. The Charlemagne Prize. The father of the European Union, because he was the first one who attempted to revive the Roman Empire. Glory be to God. The feet are forming before our eyes, man. You understand? Guys are awarding prizes every year. And we see it on the news and we don't think there's something up to that. Okay? There is a building in Brussels, Belgium, where the headquarters of the European Union are. There's a building there, okay, which is called Charlemagne Building. Okay? I was listening to some guy a few months ago, and he said that the European Union releases a magazine every now and again. And in the magazine, there is a page called the Charlemagne page. A page, I don't know what they write on it, but, in memory or in honor of Charlemagne, the guy who first attempted to revive the Roman Empire in 800 AD. Glory be to God. Okay? And Macron, it says that, the French president received that award in recognition of his vision of a new Europe. You see, that's why the Kagai is always abusing Trump. Because guys want a united world. You understand? Now Trump is taking America out of everything. He's taking America out of everything. Yet guys want a united world. Okay, of course, to start with, Europe. Now Trump came on the scene and is messing them up. Okay? Obama, man, he was was for it. You never know how evil Obama was, man. Now, in this 39-year-old guy, he's always abusing Trump. Now, he has become, the voice of like the one who can stand up against Obama. There are these old ladies, they just say things, but not so harsh. The British Prime Minister and then the German Chancellor. They say things, but this guy, is the one now. I think they are using him. He's like their voice. Hallelujah. But 10th May, 10th May is slightly a month ago, the guy was given the Charlemagne Prize. Okay? And the ceremony occurs where Charlemagne was born. Basically, I just want to show us that you know, the reviving of the what? Or the coming on scene of the feet of iron and clay. It's happening before our eyes. Okay? And we know that after that, then there will be what? That stone that will come, hit the feet, okay, then grow into a large mountain, which is the kingdom of God, the 1,000 years. So if, okay, the feet of iron and clay are forming right now, okay, then that means the stone is also what? Getting ready to come and what? Do you understand? That's how close we are. And from Sunday and other days, we saw that actually this thing is a few years from now. I can tell it is not 30 years. The return of the Lord. You know, And if it is not 30 years, then that means the tribulation, you subtract maybe 7 or 3.5, These are interesting times when Jesus is coming back to put an end to all havoc, all misery. And he's going to rapture us. You understand? It's wonderful. I wish there were less. Glory be to God. Do you see? This is, anyway, brother, this is all I wanted to say today. Today we are not going into what? To read so many scriptures. We have already read what? 31 to 35 now. Those are so many scriptures. Okay, but to show that kingdoms have come, kingdoms have gone exactly according to the vision Nebuchadnezzar had, the dream which Nebuchadnezzar had, okay, the image Daniel saw, you know, and every bit of it has been fulfilled. What is remaining now is the feet of iron and clay. And I've showed you, you know, from history, you know, that actually guys are working on it. And now, the way it's happening, it's evident that this time, nothing is going to mess it up. Okay? Because all other signs that talk about the coming of the Lord are now in what? It looks like prior to that, people were trying to do something before it's time. That's why it always had to be what? It always had to crumble. You see what I mean? It wasn't time yet, so God wouldn't allow it to happen. Okay? Hitler was doing it before the time. Okay? Bismarck and Group, it was before the time. Okay? Charlemagne the Great, it was before the time. Other things had to fall in place. There are some other prophecies which had to fall in place. And you all know most of these prophecies have come back. The Jews are back in the land, okay? Because the Antichrist, who's also coming from the Roman Empire, other chapters in Daniel will show that, okay? The Antichrist who's coming from this Roman Empire that is taking shape, okay, will have to sit in the temple in Jerusalem and proclaim himself to be God. Do you understand? That means that before this would happen, Israel had to be back in the land, okay, and they had to build the temple, okay? From what I've read and what I've heard, guys have actually made architectural drawings, okay? First of all, they have the holy site, okay? The Temple Mount, they have it. When they entered there in 1948, okay, they actually didn't have Jerusalem. I was shocked. 1948, when Israel became a nation, okay, Jerusalem actually, where the Temple Mount is, wasn't under their jurisdiction. Okay? But they're like, okay, we shall, this is not what we want, but it's good enough for now. Okay? Then, in 1967, okay, there was a war, the so-called 6-day war, 7-day war or 6-day war. Okay, 6-day war, I guess. All right, Israel was attacked. Okay, it was attacked from all sides. And then they told with Jordan, okay, which was in charge of the Temple Mount, eh? They told Jordan that stay out of this what? Of this war. Egypt attacked, you know, Syria, Lebanon, you know, eh? It was bad. Eh? So they told Jordan, stay out of this war. Eh? Let us deal with that too. Jordan refused. It entered the war and it was hammered. You understand? Eh? So Israel went for, and now in that war, that's when now Jerusalem was also what? Captured with the Temple Mount. So you can see the war turned into a blessing. You know, eh? So 1967, they also got the place where to build the what? The temple. Now there's something called the Temple Institute. Guys have now made all the furniture for the temple. The utensils to use for sacrifice and all those things. They have them. You understand? Guys have them. Okay? And they say that when they begin to build, it will take at most 1 year. At most, with all this technology now, they said it will take at most 1 year to build the temple. You understand? Eh? So that means that if they began today, you know, it is possible by the end of the year, the temple will be there. You understand? Eh? So anyway, we are that close. Eh? We are that close, man. Eh? Glory be to God. You know, the feet, iron and clay, are what? Are taking shape. The European Union. This guy, Charlemagne, everywhere, European Union, they idolize him, they honor him. A guy who first what? Started, okay? Who first attempted to revive the empire, Roman Empire. Glory be to God. It is there in the news, and somehow the world is not seeing anything. These guys are really showing that, man, your Bible, what is being fulfilled. Okay? And it is from that European Union, like I said, that the Antichrist is going to what? To arise, you know, okay? And then things will start happening. Okay? Glory be to God. Three and a half years after his reign, okay, tribulation kicks off. And you are here. And that tribulation is not 1 week. It is 3.5 years. Glory be to God. But God believes you go through it, you make it to the end. And during that time, there's going to be abundant grace to overcome whatever we shall experience. Hallelujah. So the end is here, guys. The end is what? You see, Newman, you've just had a history lesson which you didn't want to take in HSC. So now, I realize, man, now imagine when you read history with that mind, it becomes interesting. It becomes very interesting, just cramming what? Bismarck, what was he doing? I thought he was just a great man, a conqueror, what, a nice guy. Then you realize, no, the guy actually was attempting to revive the Roman Empire. Then you say, okay, that's why the third rake, okay. I always wondered why it was called the third. Because there was a second, there was a second what? Holy Roman Empire. Glory be to God. And now guys are working on it again. And they've been at it since the 1950s. Glory be to God. So Jesus is coming back soon. Hallelujah. The stone is also what? Waiting to come and hit the feet of the iron and clay. Okay? And that stone will, it says that it will be turned into a great mountain, which is the kingdom of God. Okay? Where Jesus will come and reign for 1,000 years with no devil. You understand? It's going to be awesome. Okay, and those all sometimes are just around the corner. Glory be to God.